Everything comes from Hashem. Klipus, Etrachar, everything, yeah.
Well, that's the case. There must be something good that can be extracted from
them. Yeah, we'll soon see in a moment. It's a complex issue, this. A klipa, by the way, has another dynamic to it. Besides concealing the fruit, it also protects the fruit. It protects it. Where do we have that in the nimshel? We understand the idea of a husk that conceals the truth. Where do we have the protecting aspect? Briefly, why did Hashem make such a world of klipa and sitrach? Hagufa kasha. Why did he want a person should have taivus? Okay. So the idea, very well. The Medrash in Tanchuma says, Nisava kadosh baruch hu liyis ledira b'tachteinim parshas nasa. Hashem desired to have a dira, a dwelling place, in the lowly elements of reality. B'tachteinim means in the lowly elements of reality. In other words, he created a world and a human being, which has aspects to it that obscure the quintessence of it all, which is the reality of godliness. It conceals it, obscures it to the extent that sometimes it can bring a human being to deny it outrightly. And he wanted that the human being should come, take himself, his life, his environment, his resources, his world, and revolutionize it, and make that very world a home, a dwelling place, which is hospitable to its creator. And that's the whole purpose, where there is a realm of klipa and sitra achera that obscures this truth, and nonetheless, the human being comes and realizes what is the truth of it, and takes this world and finds in it how it mirrors, in essence, the perfection and harmonious state of its creator. In the person's life himself, he has the Nefesh HaLukis and the Nefesh HaBahamas. And the purpose of the Jew is to discover the fact that I have a Nefesh HaLukis in me and relate that Nefesh HaLukis within a reality where a Nefesh HaBahamas usually reigns. Through that, a much greater advantage is achieved. Hashem, before the world was created, there was no klipa. There was no world for that matter. There was only Him. And everything was a dwelling for Him. There was no tachtoinim that had to be made into a dwelling. So He wanted even a greater chiddush. The truth of God before the world is created is a truth that shines forth and luma and exists because there's nothing else to challenge it. What happens through Bria Sa'ilam is that there is a major challenge which is seemingly antithetical to this basic truth. And now when the Jew comes and takes this world which is antithetical, which has klip and sitra acher, and transforms it and brings in godliness to this world, this produces a whole new greater reality where Hashem's truth is revealed and extended into every facet of existence, even into those facets of klipa. And this is the world that's produced through the Avodah of Yidden, thousands of years, and it's the world which will be conspicuous when Mashiach comes. The world which will be a dira b'tachtayin, but it's not created then, it's created now, then it becomes revealed. This world, it says, will be even greater than the state of reality before Briyas HaOlam, because now it's even in tachtayinim. So ultimately, the klipa becomes a shamer, a guardian for the fruit, meaning that through the klipa, the fruit itself is elevated to a higher state than it was before. We'll continue now on the first line, Davava Madalef. V'gam midos tovus shebateva kol Yisrael betel doisam. In addition to this, also the midos tovus, the good traits which are inherent in every Jew's character, k'mei rachmanus u'gmilus chasadim, such as compassion and benevolence, ba'is mimena, stem from this soul, from the Nefesh HaBahamas. Not only the midos rois we discussed before, kas and gaiva, also midos tovus, positive characteristics, as rachmanus u'gmilus chasadim, also stem from this soul. Stellt sich die Scheile, it's a soul that comes from Klippa and Sitra Achira. How do Midas Tevis come from it? So he explains, Ki bi Yisrael nefesh zu di Klippa yi mi Klippas Neiga. She yeshba gamkin Teif. For in the case of the Jew, this soul of Klippa is derived from the Klippa, which is called Neiga. That's the name of the Klippa. And this Klippa is yeshba gamkin Teif. It also contains good in it. Vihi misoide tzadas tovira. This klipa comes from the esoteric tree of knowledge, the Eitz Hadas, which is comprised of tov and ra, of good and evil. That's the source of this klipa. And since the nefesh abahamis of a yid comes from this type of klipa, so it's also a combination of ra and tov, and thus it has both midos ra'os and midos tovos, like rachmanas and gemilas chasadim. In klipa itself, there are two types, generally speaking. Specifically, there are many more, but generally they can be subdivided into two ranks. One type of klipa is called klipas noiga. Klipas noiga means a glowing klipa. Noiga in Hebrew means lashon zricha, it glows, a glowing klipa. Another klipa is defined as shalosh klipas hatmeyes she'ein behen tov klal, the three unclean klipas that possess no good. So one type of klipa is called a klipa, but it's a glowing klipa. And then there are another three types of klipas that are called shalosh klipas hatmeyes. They are totally unclean klipas. They do not glow in any form or fashion. This begins with a pasuk in Yecheskel. In Perek Aleph, Yecheskel's vision. Yecheskel's Ma'aseh Merkava, he says he was standing Begoyle, was in exile in Bavel, Al Nahar Kvar, at the river called Kvar, northeast of Eretz Yisrael. That's where Bavel is. And he says that he had a vision. And he begins the vision, Ve'era, I saw Ve'ine Ruach Sa'ara Bam in Atzafin. A stormy wind came from the north. The Eish Mislakachas, a flash, the Anon Godil, and a large cloud. The Eish Mislakachas, a flashing fire. The Noigaloi Misaviv. Around about it, there was a glow. And he goes on other things he saw, Chashmal, etc. The Zohar explains these four features that he has seen as four dynamics of Klipa. I have seen from the north, Ruach Sa'ara, stormy wind, is one aspect of Klipa. Anan Gadeh, large cloud, is a second aspect. Eish Mislakach is a flashing fire, a third aspect. And V'noigaloi Misaviv, a glow around it, is a fourth aspect of Klipa. Derech Agav, even al pi Pshutei Shal Mikra, even Rashi, of course, it's not Pshutei Shal Mikra, it's immediately mystical. But the Pshat is, Rashi says, that he saw from the north the Tzareis and the exile that will be brought upon the Yidden, that came from the north, from Bavel, from Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylonia, who destroyed the Bais Rishai. And Ruach Sa'ara and Angadleish Mislakachas are different features of these galus problems that will come to the Jews. V'naigalei misaviv, but I saw that around it there is a glow of hope, of salvation, ultimately of Geula for the Yid. So in Klipos itself, the first three are more severe and negative, and the other one, the fourth, has a glow, V'naigalei misaviv. What is the difference? So Hasidic teachings explain that klipas noiga is indeed a klipa, it's a shell, as discussed earlier, concealing and obscuring the divine energy and purpose which is embedded in it. But nevertheless, it can be defined as a translucent shell. If it's not transparent, taka, it's at least translucent, in the sense that it allows for a glimmer of the type of the divinity which is in it to come through the klipa. So even though that we call it klipa, it's not gdusha because it conceals the divine energy. It's nevertheless impacted and influenced in a conscious way from the type which is in it. That's why we call it a taruvas taivira. That is part of its structure. So when you look at it, it does not, when you discuss the klipa itself, we call it klipa. Because when you look at it, when you observe it, when you observe it, when you have a relationship with it, it is not something which bespeaks its creator. It's not something which attests to the truth, to the all-embracing, all-pervading truth of Hashem Echad. In that sense, we call it klipa. But nevertheless, we say it's a taruvus taiver. Because part of its conscious structure is impacted from the taiv. A glimmer of transcendence comes through in this reality of klipas taiv. And therefore, here comes the human being's task and obligation and very powerful energy to come to the klipas taiv, to unravel, to probe the layers, and to reveal the divine energy which is in it, and as a result of that, use it according to that divinity, and elevate it to the realm of Kedusha. Shalosh klipas hatmeis, however, their klipas are totally of a different nature. The klipa is not translucent, it's rather absolutely opaque, totally concealing absolutely and unequivocally the divine energy which is in it. Hashem created them initially in such a fashion that the divine energy is not felt at all. So in a conscious way, in this klipa, there is no impact and there's no influence from the divine energy. And therefore, under ordinary circumstances, the human being doesn't have the ability to elevate it, to sublimate it to holiness. Because this elevation comes only as a result of the fact that a certain glimmer of the divine consciousness comes through, and Hashem created in Sholosh Klipos HaTmeis that this consciousness should be inaccessible to the human being, and therefore ordinary our relationship to it must be a negative one. The human being must ignore it, defy it, abnegate it, and stay away from it, and so forth. As the Alter Rebbe explains later in chapter 7 of Tanya, this is generally the difference between the permitted things in the universe and everything that is forbidden in the universe. Everything that is forbidden, every activity, every pattern, every behavioral routine, and so on and so forth, comes from Sholosh Klipos HaTmeis. Whether it's thievery or deception or cheating, something like murder, God forbid. And for that matter, any aveda, any transgression, whether the object, the behavioral pattern, receives its energy from Sholosh Klipos HaTmeis, and therefore what we have to do is we must defy such an activity, such a behavior. But then there is that space which we call usually the neutral space of the universe. Everything that is forbidden and neutral in our world. The foods that we eat, the homes that we inhabit, the cars that we drive, the hats that we wear, the clothes that we wear, the machines that we activate, and so on and so forth. These objects receive their energy and vitality from which realm? From the realm of Klipos Taiv. So here comes the childhood task of the human being. Either we can relate to Klipos Taiv and leave it as is. If a human being eats a piece of bread for no purpose, just because he's hungry, sometimes it remains Klipos Taiv. If the human being eats the bread and uses that energy for a destructive purpose, he lowers the energy from Klipos Taiv to Sholosh Klipos HaTmeis. The challenge of man is to realize the divine transcendental purpose which is embedded in the Klipos Taiv and to use it in accordance with that divine energy and with that purpose. And then what happens is he sublimates the energy of Klipos Taiv and he elevates it to the realm of Kedusha, to the realm of holiness. As a result of his attitude, of his perspective, and the manner in which he used it, he elevates Klipos Taiv to Kedusha. By the way, someone asked me the other day, Misait Eitzadas Tevera, Lechurid Eitzadas was Asur. So you weren't allowed to have contact with it. But it's not a Shaila. The Alshech writes about Vusta Alshech that the Isra of Eitzadas was only for 3 hours. Adam, the Gemara says in Sanhedrin, Adam was created Bashat Shis on Erev Shabbos. And the Isra of Eitzadas was for 3 hours. The Kavana was that he should wait till nightfall. And it says that it's a shit in Medrash and in Gemara that the Eitz Hadas was anovim, it was a grape tree. And he should take an eshkoil of anovim, a cluster of grapes, squeeze it out, and he was supposed to be Mekadesh al Hayayin, the first Kiddush Friday night, was supposed to be made on the wine of the groups of the Eitz Hadas, on the grapes of the Eitz Hadas. And then it would have been mutter, on the contrary, it would have been sublimated, the Eitz Hadas. Unfortunately, that's not what happened. So till today, our Kiddush is Friday nights. We're still trying to rectify that Kiddush then. But in essence, Eitz Hadas come from Klipos Taiv, not from Sholosh Klipos HaTmeis. It was only for 3 hours that there was an Isser on it. Masha'ein ki nefashis of the nations of the world, hein mish'ar klipais t'meis she'ein ben taif klal. They emanate from the other unclean klippas which contain no good whatsoever. As explained in Eitz Chaim Shair Mem Tes Peri Gimel, V'chol tivu da'avdin ha'umes l'garmayu avdin. All the good that the nations do is done out of selfish motives. This is a direct quote from Tikkuni Zohar. It's not Alter Rebbe's quote. Tikkuni Zohar. Tikkun Vav says, V'chol chesed avdin ha'umes l'garmayu avdin. K'deisa b'gemara, the Gemara says, Al pasik v'chesed lo memchatos. On the pasik, in Mishle Perik Yudalit, v'chesed lo memchatos, that the kindness of the nations is sin, the Gemara says in Baba Basra, Daf Yudam et Beis, Shekol tzedakah v'chesed sh'umas ha'ilam aysin einan ela liyisya'echul. All the charity and kindness done by the nations of the world is only for their self-glorification. So thus, we see from the Gemara that chesed lo memchatos, all that's tzedakah v'chesed is l'garmayu avdin, it's done for self-glorification. When the Baal HaTanya was arrested in 1798 in St. Petersburg in Russia, because of his opposers who informed on him on several very serious accusations, the Russian government, the Tsar, set up a panel of professors and philosophers to question the philosophical ideas of the Alter Rebbe conveyed in his books that were printed till then. 22 questions they asked him for several days. He answered every one. Very elaborative manner, very eloquently, beautiful construction that most certainly impressed them. Question number 21, he answered via writing. And it was also accepted by everyone. People were amazed. Question number 22 was on the last few lines of Tanya Perek Aleph. How do you come along and you make a statement that nefashis umayis ha'elam excuse me, hey, mishar klippist meis shein ben taif klam. The other questions were dealing with this perspective on creation, this perspective on Matan Torah, this perspectives on psychology, I mean other issues. But this, you're dealing with a courtroom in St. Petersburg full of non-Jews, and they wanted to know, how do you write such a thing? But what would you do in his situation? Well, I'll tell you what he did. He smiled. And they let him go. It was all over. He smiled. What's pshat? I see you're all also smiling. Chassidim gave two explanations. One is a balabatisha one, and one is a mystical one. One is a Chassidic one. Balabatisha one, they said to him. He smiled. He was indicating, he said like this. You saw what I did with your first 21 questions. You saw how brilliantly I answered them. You saw I know my stuff. So you want, I should also explain this and prove it? Let's leave it like this. And Shalom Yisrael. A deeper explanation is, now the Rebbe smiling, the Rebbe was a Isha Laki. He was a Getlecha person. Smiling was not those people on Simchas Torah who they want to be happy so they pinch their cheeks and they smile. But the Rebbe's smile emanated from an internal sense of joy and ecstasy. Now, it's a famous idea in Torah that simcha is mamtekes dinim. Simcha sweetens and nullifies negative phenomena. Simcha is the vehicle of the Jew to break through all boundaries and limitations and obstacles that are erected in this world to disturb him from his connection to the Almighty. So at this stage, the last question, that was the climax of all the questions, simcha is what was mamtik the dinim. But let's discuss for a moment the teichen of what he says here. The Alter Rebbe by no means is saying that umay sa'olam are not shayet, rachmanos, agmilis chasadim, and temidis tevis. It's hepechatera In addition to that, it's simply rubbish and nonsense, and it's not reality, it's not realistic. What he is saying, however, is that he abrafeid a shayat rechmanas agmalas chasadim. But the question is where it comes from. If there is any ulterior motives involved or not. Rechmanas agmalas chasadim and other midas tevis can be performed for a variety of reasons. You're walking in the street, and you see a person who's freezing cold in a weather of ice and snow. They're homeless. They're torn clothes. They have a half a blanket and a small drink of orange juice. This is their life. This is their sustenance. You go by it and you can't stand looking at it. It simply aggravates you, the scene. So you'll give him a dollar. You did him a favor, no question. It's a good thing to do, no question. It's duck. But nonetheless, why did you do it? You can't stand the scene. You can't stand looking at it. Another scenario is, you're walking by someone who is in the hospital and sees an ill person and stops to talk with them. And it's a meyedikazach, it's a good thing, it's a mitzvah, rachmanas and gemilas chasadim. Why? The person puts himself in that human being's position. He says, what if I would be like that? It's a beautiful thing to do. But the reason you're doing it is because yourself. There are people who, when they do a favor to someone, they just feel good about themselves. I helped someone else. It's a very common sense. It's extraordinary, but it's very normal. It's an extraordinary act. But there's a sense of self involved. Rachmanas and gemilas chasadim, to the extent where the second human being should truly bother you, you should experience the needs of a fellow man, is a great chiddush. Why is it a great chiddush? Because a person is self-oriented. So I see in you the part of you which either reflects or helps or defies myself. So my rachmanas and gemilas chasadim is also motivated by me. Rachmanas and gemilas chasadim that should come from a true sense of experiencing the other individual is, can be said almost to be abnormal. What the Alter Rebbe is saying here is that Umeis HaOlam are normal people. And a normal people has a nefesh, and the nefesh is defined by I and self, and thus there can be many, many midas tevis. The question is, why do these midas tevis come from? To say there's no ulterior motives is abnormal. That's what he means. Shar klipas tmeis she'em ben teif klal can do good things, but you know why they come? They come from klipa. What means from klipa? From self. So you can give tzedakah to receive reward from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It still might be for self. You want to be blessed. It has nothing to do with something beyond klipa. It has nothing to do with Kedusha. You can be rachmanis because you're scared of a punishment, of retribution. Nebuchadnezzar walked 3 steps. He received tzchar for it. He was certainly from Shalosh B'Sat Meis. Hashem told him, V'chata'echa b'tzedakah praik. So if he wanted to redeem his sins, it happens through of reasons why you can do good, even if you're from Shalosh Lipas Atmeis. Shalosh Lipas Atmeis means one thing, that in your natural disposition, in your natural characteristic, self is the defining point and focal center. That is the quintessence of Shalosh Lipas Atmeis. I. If the I finds it right, justified, rewarding, exciting, fulfilling, to engage in good, it will do it. If it finds exciting, rewarding to engage in bad, it will do that as well. The chiddush is the nefesh abahamis of a Jew. That's the chiddush. The chiddush is not the end of the period. People say, how can the Alter Rebbe say such a thing? I say, every normal person says the same thing. You go over to a person in the street, find me a person who does rachmanas and gemilas chasadim, and you can truly say that there was no vestige of self involved. It's an abnormal phenomenon. There's some vestige of self involved. It's not a chiddush thing of Shalosh Lipas Atmeis. The chiddush is the other way. The klipas neiger rachmanas and gemilas chasadim. That he's saying a Jew, even in his natural klipa, is capable of true menschlichkeit. And true menschlichkeit means, not as we define menschlichkeit in the street, a good morning with a smile. True menschlichkeit means experiencing the other person. And that's something which was a major chiddush. In light of this, we have to understand the term Sholich Slipas Atmeis She'en Behen Toiv Klal. Toiv and Ra, the terms Toiv and Ra, here in Tanya, are not to be understood as we usually interpret the terms Toiv and Ra, both in the end of this chapter and, by the way, generally in Tanya. The terms Toiv and Ra, in most cases, there are a few exceptions, in most cases, should not be understood as we usually understand Toiv and Ra. Toiv and Ra, as we usually interpret it, is Toiv is a good act and Ra is an evil act. Who defines what is a good and what is evil? Torah. In the Tanya, he discusses Toiv and Ra from a deeper perspective. Toiv means transcendence. Ra means ego. Toiv is understood in terms of unity, Ra in terms of fragmentation of divisiveness. Toiv is that which recognizes its self-nullification and abnegation before the all-pervading reality of Hashem. Ra is that which has an autonomous, independent reality in space. So therefore, the Nefesh HaBahamas of the Jew, which comes from Klipas Noga, which is a Taruvas Toiv Ra, which means it's not absolutely Ra, rather it has Toiv, which shines through, which shines forth. There's a glimmer of Toiv. So it's impacted and it's influenced in a conscious way from the Toiv dynamic from a transcendental energy. And therefore, the Nefesh HaBahamas of the Jew is capable, not necessarily does it always act in that way or feel that way, but it's capable, even in a conscious way, of experiencing true Rachmanos Agmilas Chasadim in the ultimate sense of the words. When we say Shalos Lipos Atmeis Ein Ben Toiv Klal, there's no Toiv. The Shalos Lipos Atmeis can be doing very good things, but we call it Torah L'Ra because it's self-oriented. So in the Nefesh HaBahamas of Klipas Noga, there can be an experience of other human beings. In Shalosh Klippas Atmeis She'en Behen Toiv Klal, these Klippas are defined solely in terms of self-preservation and self-enhancement, and therefore all the good that comes from this realm of Shalosh Klippas Atmeis is ultimately done because that will bring something, it will bring some benefit and some gain to the human being engaging in it. So as a result of the Shalosh Klippas Atmeis, he can do a lot of good. But ultimately, what is the drive? What is the force behind all this good? It's an egotistical drive. It's ego-driven. It's driven by the need and the want to enhance myself and to perpetuate myself and to grow and to accelerate and to perfect myself and so forth. Again, whether it's done for honor, whether it's done for a name, for prestige, for creating a legacy, it's done, why not? Why shouldn't I do it? All the other reasons we discussed earlier, but whatever the case is, these are all very normal and very menschlich in our universe. From the perspective of the Alter Rebbe, from a deeper transcendental perspective, he calls that Ein Behen Toiv Klal. And again, as I emphasized earlier, this is important to understand. This is not the Chiddush. This is what it makes sense to say naturally. At the root of man's identity, at the core of man's identity, is the need and the drive to perfect that identity, and to enhance that identity, and to preserve that identity, and to gratify and to fulfill that identity. So that's normal. So the Sholos Lipos Atmeis can be engaging in a lot of good things, also in a lot of negative things. But at the core of it stands the ego. The Chiddush is the other way around. The Chiddush is the natural disposition of the Jewish animal, so to speak, where there's a dynamic of self, the conscious of self-transcendence which comes through, where man can truly experience the pain and the anxiety of another human being. And as a result of that, the Nefesh HaBahamas possesses certain natural Midas Toivus. On the other hand, this Toiv is mixed with Ra. So it possesses a whole other dimension as well. Midas Rayis, as he discussed before. Kaz, Gaiva, Atzlus, Atzvus, whatever it may be. Now, it should be emphasized that the Toiv of Klipas Noga is not identical to the Toiv in the realm of Gedusha. First of all, it's a lower level of Toiv. The very fact that it can get mixed and become intertwined and interconnected with Ra, with a concealing shell, demonstrate that's a much lower level of divine energy of Taiv than the Taiv which is in Kedusha. And even the Taiv which is mixed with the Ra, in Klipas Naiga, godliness is not felt. As mentioned before, Klipas Naiga, anything that comes from Klipas Naiga does not bespeak in a vibrant and a conscious and a clear way the reality of Hashem, the reality of godliness and spirituality. So the Taiv, so to speak, becomes submerged within the Ra, but it does impact it. Its influence is exerted and its influence is not felt, but it's not revealed. Therefore, it requires a lot of work of refinement and sublimation. On the other hand, it should be emphasized, Gimel Klipas HaTmeis have also alakos in them. Nothing can survive without divine energy. Everything is created by Hashem and is continually sustained by Hashem. And therefore, it's by necessity, even Shal Klipas HaTmeis must have divine energy. But Hashem created it in such a way that divine energy is totally concealed within the shell. And its identity, the Taiv identity, is relegated, so to speak, to the subconscious cellars of the consciousness of Shal Klipas HaTmeis. Now in Tanya, the Alter Rebbe usually addresses issues in a very brief and concise manner. So he says here, "Now the Fashisum Masailam Himishar Klipas Meis Shem Ben Taiv Klal." By the way, although in the published Tanyas it says Umas Ayv De Gilulim, I say Umas Ha'ilam, because in the Luach HaTikun, which is printed in the back of the Tanya, where there are the corrections, it says that it really has to say Umas Ha'ilam. The reason why it's printed Umas Ayv De Gilulim is because in the countries where the Tanya was published originally, as a result of the various sociological factors, there was censorship. So it was changed from Umas Ha'ilam to Umas Ayv De Gilulim. Umas Ayv De Gilulim means idol worshippers. Umas Ha'ilam means nations of the world. It's parenthetical. But in other discourses, the author, the Alter Rebbe, points out that there's an exception, there's a powerful exception. In other Hasidic discourses, from the Alter Rebbe, in his Siddur, in Sha'ar Chag HaMatzis, in the section of Pesach dealing with Matzis, he makes mention of the fact that the neshamis of Hasidi Umas Ha'ilam, of the pious, of the Hasidim from the nations of the world, come from Klipas Naiga with all the ramifications which are connected with Klipas Naiga. His son, the Mittler, Alter Rebbe's son, the Mittler Rebbe, in his Kuntres HaHispailus also mentions this, and in a more elaborative manner, in Likutei Biurim on Kuntres HaHispailus, which was authored by a great Chassid of the Mittler Rebbe and the Tzemach Tzedek named Reb Hillel of Paritch. And in fact, even in Zohar, in Parshas Mishpatim, there is an indication of this concept. What is the definition of Chassidei Umas Ha'ilam? So in the above-mentioned discourses, an explicit, clear definition of Chassidei Umas Ha'ilam, whose souls derive their energy from Klipas Naiga, is not given. But generally speaking, the Rambam in Hilchas Malachim, in Saf Perek Ches, tells us that every Gentile, every non-Jew who accepted on himself, Kala Mekabel Olav Sheva Mitzvahs, V'nizer La'asayis, and every non-Jew who accepts on himself to observe the seven Noahide laws, and he observes them, Harezem Echasidi Umas Ha'olam, and the Rambam adds, by the way, V'yeshlem Chelik L'Olam Haba, they have a part in Olam Haba in the world to come. The Rambam writes this in three places. In Hilchas Malachim, as mentioned, the end of chapter 8, in Hilchas Tshuva, in the third chapter of Hilchas Tshuva, and in Hilchas Eidus, in Perek Yud Aleph. Really, there's an argument about this, about the Chelek Elam Haba, if Yeshlam Chelek Elam Haba, in between Rebbe Lezer, Rebbe Yeshua, in Teisefta, in Mesichta Sanhedrin, the beginning of Perek Yud Gimel, it's also brought in Gemara Sanhedrin, Daf Kufay Amar Aleph. But the Rambam paskins like the Shita of Rebbe Yeshua, and he says that Chassidei Umas Ha'ilam Yeshlam Chelek Elam Haba. Yeah, you wanted to ask something before? Yeah. Okay. Why does the Alter Rebbe, you're asking, why does the Alter Rebbe have to bring proof from the Kabbalah of the Arizal? From the Kabbalah of the Arizal, written down by Reb Chaim Vital, that a Jew has two souls, and a pasuk from Yeshaya, Unashamas ani yasisi. It says beferish in Chazal in many places. For example, you mean the Gemara in Brachas Hamachalif. Vayitzer Hashem Elokim es Adam. So the Gemara says Vayitzer Shnei Yitzorim. Hashem created in men two inclinations of Yitzer Tov Yitzer Hara. Then there's the other Maim Chazal Vayar Elokim es Kol Asher Asa Vehine Tov Ma'od. So the Gemara says Tov. Chazal tell us Tov Zay Yitzer Hara. Tov Zay Yitzer Tov. Tov Ma'od Zay Yitzer Hara. So why does the Alter Rebbe have to cite the source that are two souls from who? From Reb Chaim Vital in Eitz Chaim and in Shaar HaKdusha. It's a very good question. I will not get into it at the moment. It requires a separate discussion and a separate issue, which we will discuss in the future, Mir Tasha. The point is that the terms Yetzer Tov and Yetzer Hara are not mamash synonymous with the terms Nefesh HaLakis and Nefesh HaBahamas. They are connected, they're befeirish connected, but they're not mamash the same thing. And the doctrine of the Tanya is based on the concept of two souls, which has been introduced primarily first by the Lurianic Kabbalah, by the Kabbalah of Arizal, through Reb Chaim Vital. But we'll talk about it in Mitzvah Hashem in the future. Okay, have a good day and a wonderful week.
Rabbi Jacobson delivers this weekly class on the Tanya each Sunday morning at Heichal Menachem in the Borough Park section of Brooklyn, New York. To order additional tapes or to receive the tapes weekly by mail, please call Heichal Menachem at 718-633-1076.